Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the gospel reading from St. Luke, the 15th chapter. And before I begin, I'd like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers here, whether you actually have children or whether you are fathers to young men and women that you know. Chapter 15 of St. Luke's gospel has been called the gospel within the gospel. That's because Chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel has three of Jesus' most memorable parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. Now those titles come from our English Bibles. The original Greek text does not have titles for parables. For that matter, there aren't any chapters or verses either. We human beings have given those titles to those parables. Now, by using those titles, our English Bibles focus on the thing lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But I would like to instead focus on the one who does the seeking and finding, the loving and forgiving in each of those parables. So in the parable of the lost sheep, it is the shepherd who does the seeking and the finding. So let's call that the parable of the seeking shepherd. And in the parable of the lost coin, it's the woman who sweeps her house and turns it upside down looking for the lost coin. So let's call that the parable of the cleaning woman. Or better yet, the seeking woman. And finally, let's rename the parable of the prodigal son after the main character of that parable. The main character is the father. So let's call that the parable of the prodigal father. Yes, you heard me right. The parable of the prodigal father. Now, we all think that prodigal means wasteful, and you're right. That's one of the definitions for prodigal, is wasteful. But it has other meanings as well. It could mean lavishly abundant, profuse, or yielding abundantly. For example, you could say that Betty Stratton had a prodigal smile, right? You could always count on her generous and uplifting countenance. I talked to one of the people who took care of her at Spring Wind, and what this lady said to me is that even when Betty was crabby, she was still a nice person to deal with. So let's take a closer look at the parable to see what I mean by titling it The Parable of the Prodigal Father. Now, when the younger son demanded his share of the inheritance, he in essence said to his father, "Father, you're dead to me. I want my stuff." And to demonstrate the prodigal nature, this prodigal in a good sense of the father, not only does he give his younger son the inheritance, he gives his older son the inheritance as well. Now the younger son takes his share of the inheritance and leaves town. How many of you children want to leave Laramie as soon as you can? And then you come back in a few years. That's always what happens. Well, he leaves town. He gathered all of his money, Jesus said, and he went on a journey into a far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. So indeed, the son lives a prodigal, in a bad sense, lifestyle and ends up penniless. Now, the only job he can find as a penniless Jew is taking care of pigs. Now, that's a pretty poignant statement, because pigs are unclean animals. Jews are not even to touch them. And here the only job he can find is to feed them and care for pigs. Well, someone said that life is the best preacher of the law. And there in that pig pen, with a stomach full of nothing but hunger, the younger man comes to his senses. He decides that he's going to make a bargain with his father. "I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" He only wants to do this because he is hungry. He wants bread, like his father's servants surely have enough of. Now, all this time that the son is away, it's obvious from the text that the father has been waiting for him and watching for his return. And when he sees him coming off from a distance, He runs to him and greets him. Now, this is something very unusual for a Jewish patriarch to do. The head of household would never hike up all those flowing gowns and run. That is something well beneath a Jewish father. But that's what he does. He runs to his son because he doesn't care about what the slaves and the servants will think. He runs to his son, he embraces him and kisses him. And then did you notice that after this great outpouring of love, the son changes. He changes. No longer is he making a bargain with his father. He simply confesses, "Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." No bargain. No, treat me as one of your hired servants. Now, last week I talked about the difference between slave-like fear and childlike fear. No doubt the prodigal son had a slave-like fear of his father. That's why the bargain. He knew his father would be angry with him. And to quell his father's wrath, just treat me like one of your servants. But the father's love changed that slave-like fear into a childlike fear, where now the son, realizing that he doesn't have to bargain because his father loves him, simply asks for forgiveness. And there you see the prodigal nature of the father, that abundant, lavish generosity which knows no bounds. He forgives his son, and to show that he has restored him to the family, restored his sonship, he has the best robe put on him, a ring put on his finger, and shoes on his feet, and the fattened calf is butchered, and there is just a big party because the son has returned. This party makes you think about what Jesus said in the first two parables about the angels in heaven. He said there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But the parable doesn't end there. Now, I think it does in the arch books, but it doesn't in Scripture. There's the older son. Now, the older son has never left the family, and even though his father has given him 2/3 of the estate, he hasn't squandered it. He hasn't left. He continues working and faithfully being his father's son. We find him on his way home from the fields, and he hears this celebration, and he asks, "What's going on?" And someone tells him, "Well, your brother has returned, and your father is having a party." Now, instead of rejoicing, the brother instead is filled with rage and refuses to enter the celebration. He refuses to forgive his brother. And in so doing, he not only sins against his brother, he sins against his father. And yet, here you see, again, the prodigal love of the father. Again, a Jewish patriarch would not leave a celebration he is hosting to beg someone to come to the party. That would, again, be beneath such a man. But he leaves. He goes to his son and he begs him to come to the party, join the celebration. But the older son's selfishness has blinded him to his father's love and his father's generosity. And in response to his father's love and generosity, the son even slanders his younger brother by saying that he wasted his money on prostitutes. Something Jesus never said in the text. He is selfish. He thinks only of himself. He does not think of his father and the benefits of life with his father have given him. So he puts himself outside the celebration. Now Jesus concludes the parable with these words that show the prodigal, in a good sense, nature of the father. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Now I hope it's easy to see that the father in the parable represents our heavenly father. He is truly our prodigal father. He wants to lavish his grace and mercy on us sinners. He waits patiently for us to repent and turn to him. His desire is to forgive and not to condemn. The younger son represents sinners, the kind of sinners that Jesus encountered in his ministry, prostitutes, tax collectors, Gentiles, and those outside of the faithful of Israel. These people listened to Jesus' preaching and teaching. They repented of their sins, turned from their sinful ways, and turned to Jesus in faith. And they received a seat at his everlasting banquet. And for them, the angels rejoiced. The older son represents those who rejected the teaching and preaching of Jesus, who refused to repent because they saw no need to repent. They were not sinners. They were righteous in their own eyes. Their self-righteous refusal to repent of their sins and to forgive others as they have been forgiven put them outside of the heavenly banquet that Jesus has prepared for those who believe the gospel. Now the parable then asks a question of us, doesn't it? It asks us, with whom do you identify? Do you identify with the younger son or do you identify with the older son? The younger son lived as if his life with God didn't matter. As if God was dead. As if God didn't exist. The older son lived in a self-righteous condemnation of other people. And his self-righteous condemnation of his brother revealed that he too had a selfish and sin-hardened heart. Now, if we're honest with ourselves and with God, because that's what confession means, it means that I agree with what God sees in me, we must admit that we are at times both sons. When we embrace sin and live in lifestyles that are contrary to God's word and will, then we live our lives as if God did not exist, they did not matter, or that he doesn't really care. Or when we live lives of greed and self-indulgence, we demonstrate that we do not care about the needs of others or God's church or the gospel. When we live like that, we are the younger son, squandering God's grace and lost in our trespasses and sins. But if we think we're better than others, if we, in our grudges, refuse to forgive others, if we slander against others and gossip about them because we think we're better than them, well, then you can see that, well, we are the older brother. And with hard-hearted hearts, we have put ourselves outside of God's kingdom. Shows that even a pious heart can be a heart that is dead in sin, when it is a heart that refuses to love as Christ Jesus has loved us. Which means then that all of us stand before God as condemned sinners. And all that we can do is appeal to God's mercy. And that takes us back to the prodigal nature of our Heavenly Father, whose great love for us moved him to send his only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. The prodigal and seeking nature of our Heavenly Father is especially evident when he gave his only begotten Son into death on the cross, battered and bleeding, so that we could become sons, children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. There we see this prodigal love, this lavish, abundant love that God has poured out on all sinners through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Whether it's sinners who live as if God doesn't matter or sinners who live as if others don't matter, God so loved the world that he gave. So this prodigal love of our Heavenly Father and of his Son saves us from our sins, brings us into repentance and faith, and returns us to our Lord. We repent because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, but we also repent because we know in faith that God desires to forgive. He desires to open the gates of heaven to all who believe the gospel, to enter into the banquet that Jesus has prepared for everlasting life. At the foot of the cross, we are all the same. We are all sinners who are in need of God's love and mercy. So richly poured out at that cross and at that baptismal font for all people. Just as Paul says in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In the parable of the lost son, Jesus gives you a picture of your heavenly Father. He is prodigal with earthly and spiritual blessings. He is prodigal with his grace. He is prodigal with his mercy. He is prodigal with his willingness to forgive. He is prodigal with his patience, waiting for sinners to turn from sins and turn to him. And he is prodigal in the gift of his son, Jesus, dying on the cross so that we could all be called sons of God and with Jesus inherit eternal life. And when God's love brings one sinner into repentance, all heaven rejoices. Which means, whenever any of you repent and return to the Lord, there is a party in heaven over you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.